It's Friday, January 5th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, got a great show for you tonight. It's almost time for CES, so strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How are you? Are you ready for the weekend? Well, I'm not ready for the weekend. I'm ready for the Consumer Electronics Show. Everything is packed. I spent the afternoon weighing my suitcases, weighing the bags, cross-checking, making sure my list was completed, and I'm ready. I'm ready to get on an airplane. So, all this planning is, boy, and I tell you, I have done an immense amount of planning, and hopefully it all pans out and we turn out some great content. I hope you're excited. I know that I am. So I fly out of Honolulu on the red eye at 10:55 tonight, get into Vegas Saturday morning bright and early. We'll probably have to check my bags with the hotel concierge, and then hopefully get into a room by 10 or 11, maybe get unpacked, who knows, maybe not. And then very, very shortly after that, head off to press events. So I'm going to do my best to sleep on the airplane. And boy, I tell you, this would be the time. This would be the time to have a prescription for Ambien, because if I did, that would definitely help me get to sleep. But I'm going to have to do my best to sleep on this red eye. My body is essentially trained not to sleep. And I haven't talked about it a lot on this show, but for 20 years being in the Navy, I have sat in the back of P-3 aircraft. I have nearly 10,000 flight hours, and worked as a technician and worked as a sensor operator in the back. And that is a job that you just don't sleep at. So now when I get on an airplane, it's just, it's like I'm going to work, you know, so I don't sleep. My body's trained not to sleep. But I tell you what, regardless, it's going to be a good time in Vegas. Javon Padiyar is going to be meeting me about 10 a.m. on Friday morning. That's when he gets in. I mean, Saturday morning is when he gets in. He's our financial officer at Raw Voice. And Andy McCaskey's already going to be there. He's flying in tomorrow, actually tonight. And I tell you what, I talked to him on the phone early Thursday, and he had a horrendous cold, so I'm really worried that Andy's not going to be 100% healthy for the show. But I told him, sleep, get lots of liquids, and load up on your vitamins. And I've been banking as much sleep as I can here as well. With the kids not here and the wife and them all in Japan, it's been a little bit easier to sleep in or get to bed a little early. So it's worked out really, really well. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit here on what we're going to offer to those of you that listen to this show that are also bloggers. I'm going to be tracking all the way throughout the show, and if you are so, if you feel like you want to, feel free to link to any of the content that we put up, be on Geek News Central. Of course, that's where you're going to need to link it to if you want to get credit for this. Because the video stuff is going to be all over the net, but the audio stuff will be restricted to Tech Podcast and for Geek News Central. But if you link to Geek News Central, we're going to be tracking who drives the most external traffic from blogs. Now, what I will be doing is, if you link to us, then just drop me an email saying, "Hey, Todd, I linked," and give me the URL to your website. The top 10 is going to get some cool rewards, some cool prizes. Plus, we're going to do something at the end. We're going to talk about all the sites that helped us out during the show as well. So we'll give you some link love back. So I definitely appreciate it. And this is a viral event, folks, where we really try to get the content out there and build awareness We're not king of the hills when it comes to this. You know, there's some folks out there doing tech content that have some bigger names and definitely draw some bigger audiences. So we're going to do our best, and we hope that you'll help us build the excitement around the event for the Consumer Electronics Show. And I hope we don't let you down. But this is a pretty big event for us, so I'm excited. Hope you are too. But otherwise, we got a lot of great content for you tonight. And of course, none of you got the newsletter the last go around. Something happened, and tonight will be the test to see if you got the newsletter, because some sort of error happened in my program. I'm really stressed up about it because it's a critical time to get the newsletter out. If you do not get the newsletter, please come to the website at geeknewscentral.com. All the content that's in the newsletter is on the website, but something happened. Something's buggy. So I'm crossing my fingers that tonight, three times is the charm. I did do some testing, and I think I've got it fixed, but we will see here. But I do apologize about you not getting the newsletter on the last show. What else have I got going? I got a call this afternoon from a gal, and she says, "Hey, Todd, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I left a couple of voicemail messages with you," and I hadn't got any voicemails from her. And she says, "We'd like to have you stop over at the podcast pavilion at Expo on the Sands and stop and talk to us." I said, "Well, don't worry. You know, I'm going to be in the building, and we'll definitely be over there to see you." And so I started questioning her a little bit about their company. And I said, "Oh, you've got something similar to like what Libsyn does." And I started naming off some of the other companies. And she goes, "Who's Libsyn? Who's that? Who's this?" And I'm like, "Are you a PR person for them, or do you actually work for this company?" And she goes, "Oh, no, I'm their marketing director." And I'm like, "You don't know Libsyn, or you don't know this company or that?" And she said, "No." And I said, maybe you ought to do a little research on these companies. They're your competition. And she was pretty silent on the other end of the phone line. And I said, "While you're at it," I says, "maybe do a little background about me too." I said, "I'm not competing with you in product space, but I have a podcasting company as well." And boy, it was just dead silence on the other end of the phone. I thought it was pretty comical, but I'll definitely be going over to see them and talk to them about their products. So you'll definitely want to be listening. Probably be on Monday night's show, because I plan on being in the Sands on Monday and then into the other halls the following days. And I tell you, when you've got approved to be getting press credentials, you get all these emails from these companies, all these PR firms. I mean, it's just like 25 an hour coming in. "Hey, come see us. Do you want an appointment? Come see us." And there's no way, even with a team of 100 people, you could ever go see all these vendors. Now, about 10 of you, I think it was only 9. I think 9 of you requested that I go see a specific vendor. So I'm definitely going to go see those specific vendors that you've asked me to go see. So as this show gets ready to ramp up, if you see a company that you want me to talk to, you definitely need to email me now. Now, Monday, I plan on being in the Sands. So that's the first day. If you're going over there and looking at the vendors that are in the Sands, that's the plan. And after Monday, I won't be back in that building. So if you see somebody that you want to talk to in that building, let us know, and we'll get over there and interview them on a specific product. Now, you know, it's kind of funny is the family here. We have a nice dog. He's about 10 years old, and can't get him too excited because he has a heart murmur. So he tuckers out real easy, and he's getting older, starting to get a little gray hair. Well, ever since the kids and my wife have been gone, he's been kind of moping around and following me. He never, ever comes in this office, because it's usually kind of like the office and the bedrooms have kind of been off limits to him to a certain extent. Because he did some naughty things early on when he was jumping up on beds and that kind of stuff. And we don't allow the dog up on the bed. And so he's been following me around, and I've been allowing him into the office. So I'm sure when my wife gets home, she's going to be like, "Max is going upstairs. Did you give him permission to go upstairs?" Well, guilty. I felt sorry for him. He's lonely. So he's down here by my feet and keeping me company. So I am not alone here in the house, but a neighbor's going to take care of him while I'm gone, and hopefully the wife will be back midterm as well. But anyway, I think that's all I kind of got for little stuff that I want to talk about quickly. Let's take care of a little business. Hey, and by the way, we're going to be very, very soon, I'm going to be introducing some new products that you're definitely going to want to check out from our sponsors, GoDaddy.com. But for now, if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code Todd when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. I always get emails a lot asking me for these codes. Todd, Geek, ComSale, Aloha, Central, Geek 5. Again, here are the codes again. Todd, Geek, ComSale, Aloha, Central, or Geek 5. Those are the variety of different codes that we've got that you can use. Of course, you can always click on the banner on the website as well. Talking with the guys a little bit over at Tech Podcast, trying to determine when we're going to do our next roundtable. I'm expecting probably the week following CES. We'll see how that goes. But these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. And of course, that's why I recommend that you try GoToMeeting. I consider it the best web-based conferencing solution that is on the market today. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must. You know, you can don't have to travel no more. You can, even if you're going to do something across town with someone, you just get them on the computer screen on the phone, and you have a meeting right there. It's just like you're in the same room. You know, these online presentations, don't travel and spend that money. So unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it for free yourself. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. If you notice on the Geek News Central website as well, I have a new banner up there. The Hitachi banner is up on Geek News Central for our sponsorship of CES. And check out what they're talking about over there if you want to get a click and see what Hitachi's doing. I think it'd be worth your time to check that out. Also, very, very soon, I mean, maybe tomorrow, we're going to be rolling out a whole bunch of Blueberry updates. We've got it all in beta, working on it real hard. The developer's saying tomorrow. It's ready tomorrow. He's told me that a couple of times, but Angelo, we'll see if you can get it out tomorrow, my friend. I'm hoping it will come out as well. Now, another thing that's going on is, I don't know if we're going to make it or not, but the new Geek News Central website design is very, very close, and it's beautiful. So if you really look hard, should I give you a hint where the skin is? If I do, it'll spoil it. You're gonna if you put some unique URLs in on the website, you may find it. I'll let you guys be creative. Hey, I do want to say today if you saw the website was down for a little bit, what we have done is the server that we're running Blueberry on reached a critical point last week where the load was just too much for it. So we've added servers. Matter of fact, we've added two more servers to our cluster mix. And while we were at it, we did some shuffling around. The folks at GoDaddy were really good. We were able to get my machine, which Geek News Central's on, has nothing. There's running no raw voice resources. It's all my personal website. But I wanted to kind of put that on the same IP structure as the rest of the boxes were. So we've got all four of our primary servers sitting on the same network, which is really, really awesome. It's going to give us some flexibility and when we have critical times of heavy load. And then we're shifting around some of our other boxes as well. But that was a reason the site was down for a little bit today. If you're not seeing the site, do a cache refresh on your browser. That'll clear it because we did have to do a DNS or actually do an IP change to the main machine. But hopefully it was just become transparent to you and you never saw it. All right, what have I got in the list here tonight? I got to back up. I'm not in the beginning of my notes. What are we at? We're at 14 and a half minutes. Hey, Amazon boss has showed off a new spacecraft. It's called the vehicle's actually called the Goddard vehicle, G-O-D-D-A-R-D, and they launched it to an altitude, and it's pretty huge. I'm looking at it sitting on a flatbed trailer, and it extends above the flatbed trailer by, oh my goodness, maybe 5 to 7 times as high as a normal flatbed trailer. But this thing actually, they launched it and it went up, I guess, like 285 feet. It was a controlled launch where they went up a little bit and they actually landed the vehicle, which was really cool. But it looks like a lot of companies are working on this, capability to take tourists to space. And this vehicle looks huge. And then I don't know how in the world they're ever going to get this. If this is what they plan on taking people into space with, I don't know how they got enough propellant to do it. But anyway, check it out. The link is via BBC. It's been all over YouTube as well today. So watch the video. You'll get a good laugh out of that. And it kind of reminds me of, like, you see those videos when people were trying to learn how to fly, and they would crash into rivers and they would try to go off a building with a set of wings. This is kind of the stage we're at in this commercial, manned spaceflight type of program where they're trying to put tourists in space. And it kind of reminds me of that kind of, it has that kind of setting, and this took place back in November, but they're now just releasing the video. Well, it looks like there's more fallout from the Apple stock option issue. There's two companies that have now, or actually two firms, on behalf of stockholders of Apple, who are suing the company for, in relation to this this stock issue. So we'll see what happens here with these lawsuits that are coming out. But there's 11 complaints from shareholders, and this is definitely going to cause some issues for the stock. We'll see what happens here, and we'll wonder if Steve Jobs is still going to be able to skate underneath the radar without getting in trouble. But this issue is definitely going to cost Apple a lot of money. Oh, I just got a little instant message. Let's hear. Who's this from? Oh, it's from Phil, our system administrator at Raw Voice. Now, check this out, folks. This is dedication. This is what bootstrapping is all about. It's 9 p.m. here in Honolulu. That means it's 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And actually, he is just finished up configuring one of the new boxes, 2 o'clock in the morning his time, and he's working. That my friends, that's bootstrapping at its best. He has to go to work tomorrow. Phil, don't do that, man. Make sure you get plenty of sleep so you don't get fired. All right. Oh gosh. Okay, there's an article out on Ars Technica talking about how the RIAA is fighting to keep the wholesale price of MP3 files a secret. Now, I don't know if it's so much a secret because back in 2005, there was some stuff that was happened in some other litigation that kind of determined that the price was around 70 cents per track. But I guess there is a new lawsuit out that's forcing the recording industry to divulge the closely held secret of what the actual price is. Part of this stems from the RIAA's claim that each copyright infringement would cost, someone like this ridiculous $150,000. They're trying to come back with the real wholesale price to try to determine if this pricing that they're putting on these violations is indeed justified. But very interesting article. We'll see what happens here with this. Something to keep an eye on. But we will tell. We'll be able to tell real soon if they get some injunctions and able to release that information. One site that I always recommend that you check out is called recordingindustryversuspeople.blogspot.com. Again, recordingindustryvspeople.blogspot.com. That's a good site. It's got a lot of information about what's going on with the RIAA. Now, I know many of you get mad when I start busting on Internet Explorer, and I know for a fact that 56% of you use Firefox that come to the Geek News Central website at geeknewscentral.com, while the rest of you are a hodgepodge of IE, Mac users using Safari and different other types of browsers. So the majority of you are using Firefox, but did you know that in 2006, Internet Explorer was unsafe for 284 days of the year? That means if you were surfing the Internet with Internet Explorer exclusively last year, for 284 days, you and your computer was subject to, well, you wouldn't have been subject to viruses, but your computer would have been subject to viruses, malware, different types of exploits. Now, this isn't, you know, this is something you really need to sit up and look at, okay? And they do a comparison based upon what was going on with Firefox as well. And Firefox, oh my goodness, you are a magnitude, like an extreme magnitude safer using Firefox as a browser. Now, you may think because you're using IE7 that you're safe. Well, let me read this for read directly out of this article out of the Washington Post. It says, for all its touted security improvements, the release of Microsoft's new Internet Explorer 7 browser in November came too late in the year to improve the lot of IE users who make up roughly 80% of the world's online community. For a total of 284 days in 2006, or more than 9 months of the year, exploit code for known unpatched critical flaws in free IE7 versions of the browser was public available on their internet. Likewise, there were at least 98 days last year in which no software fixes from Microsoft were available to fix IE flaws that criminals were actively using to steal personal and financial data from users. You know, that's, well, they don't go into much about IE7 there, do they? But they, you know, they highlight how bad it was. And they've got some charts up. And they say here that, let me talk about Firefox. In contrast, the closest competitor in terms of market share, Mozilla Firefox browser, experienced a single period lasting just 9 days last year in which an exploit code for a serious security hole was posted online before Mozilla shipped a patch to remedy the problem. All right, are you still using IE6 or have you updated to IE7? Are you still using a browser that Microsoft has been very slow to patch stuff? I think you really need to look at this. Now, there's going to be a new article that's going to come out tomorrow that's going to talk about Office as well. So, you know, I kept harping earlier in the year, switched to Firefox, right? And I kept getting pushback from some of you saying you'd never switch to Firefox. You would continue to use IE. Well, have you set yourself up? Is your computer bug-free? How do you know? How do you know if someone's come into your computer and maliciously stole data without you knowing about it using that browser? Now, I don't want to get a bunch of people worried here, but, you know, let's be realist. And if you're out there surfing the net, if you're going to the same sites, if you're going to CNN, you're going to Fox, if you're going to ESPN, if you're going to sites that you feel that you know and you're not going out and just, you know, randomly surfing websites, you're probably okay. But if you've been out there doing any type of surfing and looking at a variety of different sites or going to even some blogs that you may not know who the author is or the motive behind the person. And to take, for example, here today, I had a second site here in the last couple of days that I have determined was stealing content from Geek News Central. And I went over and it's like, luckily a listener to the show pointed me out the site and I was able to go over and have some action taken against it. So, you know, that reminds me, I didn't tell you about a company that I've had a run-in with. You may have all seen my UPS post, still dealing with them, but let me talk about a company called VideoSmith. Around December 1st, I ordered a special mount for my high-def camera, and essentially what it would allow me to do is have one hand on the camera, then on the mount would be about a 6 to 9 inch space with a shoe that was mounted on top of it where you could mount an additional flash or a microphone or whatever you may want it. So it kind of give you more stability for the video camera, and it would hook into the bottom of the camera. It was called a Mini Rover. So I ordered that. It was relatively inexpensive, $59, had it shipped out UPS second day air. I got it here. I had a bunch of other stuff coming in at the time. And it was, I don't know, maybe 5-6 days later that I got it out of its box and I was actually seeing how the configuration worked with my camera. And lo and behold, when I tried to put my Sony Pro Lite or the Sennheiser ME and K66 shotgun mic mounted to the shoe that was on this grip, the shoe was too thick on top. I couldn't mount the actual devices to the shoe. So it just, they just wouldn't slide in. And you could just by looking at it, you could tell it was thicker. So I called, I actually sent an email out to the company, and I got a follow-up the next day. I got a voicemail. The company actually called me back right away and gave me a voicemail, said to ship it back. So I didn't quite know where to ship it to exactly, because I had, I think I'd thrown the box out already that had come in. And just being lazy, I didn't look through the invoices on my computer. So I called him up on the phone, and I talked to this gal there. And she said, oh, yeah, we were informed just yesterday that there was a defect in the latest batch. And if you'll send it back, we'll get it repaired and get it sent back to you. And I told her, well, I need it back by before tomorrow or today because I'm flying out. I need to have it for CES. Well, I shipped it out to him a few days later, maybe have been 4 or 5 days later. You know, I just got busy, and I sent it out priority mail, and apparently they did not get the device until, they're telling me at least, that they didn't get it, and I didn't put a tracker on it. So I'm not doubting that they did not get it until yesterday, but it would have taken like 2 weeks for priority mail because I shipped it on the 20th. And so, you know, it's maybe with the holidays and everything, but it seems a little odd that priority mail would have took 2 weeks to get it there, 14 or 13 days. 13 days is what it would have took. Well, anyway, this guy calls me on the phone today and he goes, hey, Todd, you know, we got your mini rover fixed. What do you want me to do with it? I said, well, I said, I'm leaving for Las Vegas tomorrow. I said, I need you to overnight it to the Monte Carlo. And so it'll be there when I get there. And kind of silence on the other end. He said, well, how do you want it shipped? And I said, well, you know, ship it FedEx overnight or, you know, however you want to do it. And he kind of got quiet again. He says, well, I'm going to have you pay for the shipping. I just, at that point, I got pissed. Because I'd paid for a second day air to have it delivered the first time. The item had a defect. I've shipped it back to him on my expense. Okay. They got it. They fixed it. They weren't able to get it back to here in time because they were going to ship it, I guess, U.S. mail or something ridiculous to send it back to me. What it is they don't want to fork out the money to spend to ship it to me. So it was just a matter of point that this guy wanted to make me pay for the FedEx to get it to Vegas when they defect in their product. You know, from what I ordered back on December 1st, I would have had it, been all set. I pre-planned plenty ahead of time. So what do you guys think? You think they treated me fairly? Do you think it was fair of them to ask me to pay for shipping back to Las Vegas versus Hawaii? You know, I talked to this guy on the phone for a little bit. You know, he wasn't making any sense. I got very frustrated with him. Disconnected that phone conversation, sat around here and stewed for about 30 minutes just about them. Just made me feel bad, made me feel like this company was taking advantage of me. And I called them back and I asked for the manager. And this is what really torqued me the most was the manager gets on the phone and he says, okay, we didn't get it till yesterday. And, you know, he starts giving me all these excuses about shipping time, but he keeps denying that he says, oh, we've been manufacturing this since so-and-so year, and the design hasn't changed, and no one else has sent one of these back, and there wasn't a defect. I'm like, well, how can there wasn't a defect? I couldn't put the devices on the shoe. And so my point was, okay, if you know, I will give you the Sennheiser mount, and I will give you the Sony light mount, and you can call Sony and Sennheiser and tell them that their shoes are defective. Their shoe mounts are defective. This guy wasn't buying, oh, we want to take care of customers. You know, I'm sorry. You know what this company should have done? Here's how they would not have gotten me to talk badly about them on the show. They said, oh, Mr. Cochran, yes, we had a defect on your product. We're so sorry about that. We have corrected that, and we're going to get it back to you. Where do you need it to go? I need it to be in Las Vegas tomorrow. Oh, terrific. I will get that out FedEx overnight for you. Thank you so much for being a customer of ours, and thank you so much for dealing with this little inconvenience. Guess what? That is a proactive company. That is a proactive company. That's a company that earns my respect and gets my business again. Here's my advice to all of you that listen to this show. Do not do business with Videosmith at videosmith.com. In my personal opinion, they may say they care about customers, but they just don't get it. They really, really don't. I know they're going to listen to this show. And the email I got, now I guess I won't read his email, but he says, I'm sorry we couldn't, something to the effect that I'm sorry we couldn't agree on a resolution to the issue. So they're shipping it back here to Honolulu. I will never. That thing will sit on a shelf. I'll put that thing on eBay before I ever use it. So what do you folks think? Think I'm wrong on this? Or do you think I'm right? Think about the circumstances on this. Do you think that I overreacted? I'd love to hear your comments back via voicemail. 619-342-7365. Because what I'll do is I'll take all those voicemail comments. I'll package them up. And I'll send it over to the Videosmith folks to see what they think about the situation. Now, I've tried to be fair in the portrayal of this, okay? They did. I've talked to them twice. But the matter of a fact is they did not want to admit that their product was defective, even though they couldn't mount any of my stuff onto it. So, anyway, I should have brought this up in the beginning of the show. That's why they wouldn't have had to have... come in so far into the podcast to find the content. But what would you guys do? All right. Love to hear from you. Really, really would. And if you have a company that you've had an issue with, I would love to hear from that as well. I love talking about companies that don't do stuff right. All right. Next thing up, I've got a article on how many of you are using LinkedIn? I get probably a LinkedIn request every 2 or 3 days, and I try to be a little bit picky about who I link into, but there's a good article by Guy Kawasaki. He's a venture capitalist who is talking about 10 ways to use LinkedIn, and this is a great article, and I think there's a lot of power in LinkedIn, and I've been a member of that site for maybe a year and a half, and haven't really, you know, had to use it to, you know, use it to find people that I need to connect with. But I would imagine at some point here in the future, if I need to do a job search or if I need to find a connection in a certain field, that definitely is going to be a great way to do it. If you're not using LinkedIn or if you do want to link in to me and get hooked up and be part of my LinkedIn community. And check out this article, of course, as well, on why you may want to be involved over on LinkedIn. All right, Studios OK Movie Download Technology. Hollywood Studios, I guess, have approved a new technology, and they made a licensing arrangement that is going to be removing some obstacles that users are facing now with burning movies they buy digitally over the Internet. Now, this is kind of good news in a certain aspect, but I don't know how, until I see how this thing works and what DRM restrictions it are. But there's a company out there called Sonic Solutions Incorporated that has introduced what they're calling the QFlix system, which adds a standard digital lock to DVD burned in a computer or a retail kiosk. Of course, this probably hasn't been hacked yet. I'm sure that'll be the next thing that's going to be hacked by hackers. But you're actually going to be able to burn a DVD that you buy online. Awesome, yeah? I think this is this could really have a chance to take hold. Now, I don't mind them letting me burn it only to a couple of DVDs or whatever limitation they make on it. So long as I can burn the DVD in DVD quality and use it on my players, this would encourage me to definitely buy more DVDs, especially online. Now, why don't they do it in reverse? Why don't they make it so that we can legally take and encode a DVD onto our computers? And I know we could all do that right now. There's technology out there, thanks to DVD John. But how many of us are actually doing that? But anyway, this is pretty cool. We'll have to see how this gets rolled out and who this is going to be linked to and what companies. But, here it is. The initial companies participating include Verbatim, which makes blank disk, of course. It's going to be used with the MovieLink video on demand provider, Akimbo Systems, and of course Walgreens. Oh, Walgreens, what is Walgreens sells DVDs via kiosk or something? We don't have Walgreens here in Hawaii. I'm gonna have to check that out more as well. They're still trying to figure out the pricing scheme, of course. And they're saying here, here's the catch, here's the kicker. Consumers will need a new DVD burner that includes the latest software. They're saying that some burners can be updated. That must be the reason why. Huh. Okay, let's see what other else they're saying. Some burners can be updated, Sonic said. And companies such as Plexter, a QFlix partner, expected to market the QFlix-enabled DVD burners that connect with a USB cable. Come on. All right. I guess that's bad. If I can't use my current DVD burner in my PC, I am not going to go and upgrade. No way, no how. Why didn't these, what are these? They're just making it too hard, aren't they? They're making it too hard. You know, there has been a little bit of discussion the last couple of days in the space about how the studios are starting to figure out that maybe DRM isn't such a good idea and how they're going to maybe start loosening up. Well, that doesn't show it for sure. All right, how many of you, of course, I'm sitting here at the desk. I have a glass of iced tea, and it's making a nice wet ring on my table. I don't have a coaster under it. But how many of you have had a Coke can or something sitting on the desk that all of a sudden, you know, you kind of forgot about it, and it's gotten warm, and you drank it regardless? Well, those days are over. There's a USB-powered drill chiller. It keeps the beverages cold. Yeah, someone's selling this where you can actually put this little device on your desk, plug it into the USB port of your computer, and then you'll stick your canned drink on top of it, and it will actually keep the drink cold. You know, what is the deal here? How many, you know, USB, there's everyone selling a USB-enabled device. How long is it going to be before we're going to start burning out USB ports in computers? I'm half scared to run stuff like this. Can think about the power draw. Anything that generates heat or makes something cold, that's going to use a lot of power, and that cannot be good on your hardware over a long time. It's claiming to boost the temperature of your drink by 13 degrees. It does heating and cooling, so either or. So if you got a cup of coffee on your desk, it's going to warm your cup of coffee up or keep it to 29 degrees in 10 minutes, or chills to 13 degrees in the same period. Or in chills 13 degrees. I guess it won't go down 13 degrees. If it does, the candle will be froze. But $24 is all it costs to have one of those planted on your desk, and the link will be up in the show notes. All right, SanDisk is announcing a 32-gigabyte SSD drive, and the prices of them are supposed to start coming down. And I'm really excited about seeing these drives coming out, because of the solid-state disk are really going to be the way to go here in the future. Now, think about the day where you're going to be able to have, you know, let's say, for example, my biggest worry about having a computer running and a server farm, especially like all of our servers that we have that we're running for Raw Voice, even Geek News Central, is a hard drive going bad. Now, we've had to spend extra money to put in enough backup capacity to run our websites in case we blow a drive or a machine goes down. Once these solid-state drives get into servers that are going to be in server farms, I can only imagine that, number one, is going to cause the heat to go down in the server farms, and it's also no more moving parts. So I would imagine that the fact that you've got a drive in that's solid-state is going to reduce the number of times where, you know, manufacturers are these, you know, you lose a drive. That's been my biggest worry about, you know, hosting, is that we blow a drive. Now, you wouldn't have to have as much backup capacity in if these were in there. But the pricing is still outrageous. The 32 gig solid state drive could end up being around $600 when released. That's way down from around $900 to $1,400 that we're paying for SSD equipped gear last year. Now, I think what will happen over the next couple of years, I would imagine within 5 years, none of us will be running newer computers. We'll be running any of the old type drives in our machines. We'll have these solid state drives Obviously, the speed will be much faster. And these actual ones that SanDisk is selling right now are Ultra ATA. Oh, let me talk a little bit. I did go with a solution for... Do I have the box here? I did go with a solution for my external drive for my Mac. I went with a Western Digital external eSATA drive. And then I bought a card. Gosh, where is the card's packed away? I'm sorry. I have to get a link to it up in the show notes, but a listener to the show recommended me to go to a company to buy a card that would work with this eSATA drive on the Mac, and I got that. That card was $118, and the drive itself was, I got it on sale for $270. It was a 500 gig drive. Amazing, amazing speeds. And that's going to make a big, big difference in processing all of the video that we're going to have out at the Consumer Electronics Show. So what I'll do is I'll get a I'll do a write-up on it, and I'll get it up on the website. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow while I've got some spare time before I'm flying out to give you guys an idea of the configuration. But you can get these for PCs as well. They sell the PC equivalent of this card. So if you're looking for, if you have a laptop, you want an external drive that has high performance on the Windows side, same type of configuration, and just keep watching online for the sales. I think I saved $120 on that drive. They had it on sale. It was normally $399. I got it for $270. Believe it or not, at my local CompUSA, I didn't even have to go online to get it. But I did have to go online to get this card, and I apologize for not having that in front of me. But just seeing this article reminded me of that, and I wanted to share that with you. Okay, let's move on. Sadly, the CEO of Earthlink, Gary Betty, passed away, I believe, yesterday at the age of 49, resulting from complications from cancer. Boy, I tell you, you just never know, folks. You really, really don't. You live every day as it is your last, and live it to the fullest. And I think that's how I have to continue to go. You never know. Sadly, here's a guy that's super successful, has built up a great business, and sadly, this has happened. But he, I guess there are some other people within the company are going to be moving up into his position. Hasn't been announced yet exactly what's going to go. Mike Lunsford is going to be stepping in to fill his role. I don't know if that's going to be permanent or not. But a link to that will be up in the show notes as well. I saw an article by Nick Bradbury. He's the author of Feed Demon, my favorite news aggregator. He's going to be doing some updates to the system here very shortly, and that the new updates are going to improve offline reading. Thank you so much, Nick. This is huge. You're going to be able to cache. Essentially, this is something that I used to do back in the day. When we were on modems, I would start the computer up, and I would be subscribed. It would go out, and it would cache websites. It would actually download the entire... How many of you remember that? Download the entire website, all the graphics. You could tell how many layers to go in. It would go in 3, 4, 5 layers, however far you wanted it to go. So when you were on a dial-up, when you were at 2400 baud or 14.4, whatever speed you were at, getting into the very early internet, you could get all these pages, and you could browse on your PC at the speed of your processor because, you know, it was all pre-cached. Well, Nick is going to do that as well. He's going to make Feed Demon allow it to do offline reading. He's going to pre-cache all the articles and all the... This is awesome. I really think it's awesome. And, Nick, this is going to work out great, you know, for people like me. They're always on the go and sometimes don't have connectivity. You know, I can set this thing up and say, okay, I want these categories pre-cached, pre-loaded, and then I don't have to worry about clicking on it and waiting, you know, for the EVDO to catch up or whatever's going on if I'm in an area where there's no service. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's going to be some search tweaks that are going to be put into it, and there's also going to be what he calls dinosaur reports. And this is a big issue. Feeds going dead are no longer being updated. This will allow us to prune our reading list, because many times I'll see a feed that just all of a sudden just goes dead, 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 and great way to get rid of dead weight within the system. So keep up the good work, Nick. I look forward to the new release. All right, on GigaOM, they're reporting that for social networks, 2007 is all about the money. And I think this is an interesting read because if you go to many social sites, you'll see that they're just completely, they completely bombard you with advertising. And I don't know about you, but it just drives me nuts. It really, really does. You go to MySpace, every page, there's four or five different ads on the website. I understand these companies got to make money. And it was one of the reasons why when we designed Blueberry, we said we're not going to wrap all this advertising around the pages. Our model is not going to rely on that as a, you know, as a milestone marker for our company. And I think there's some great advice within this article. But he goes on to say that, companies should be really planning on monetizing their sites with advertising. And I don't know if I agree. Some of the stuff in here is good. Some of the stuff I don't agree with. He says you got to build up your CPM when you go from 50-cent CPM up to $10 CPM. Well, you got to have good content in order to do that. It's all about the content, baby. So, Robert, I don't know if I agree with your article here, but for those of you that surf a lot of social sites, check it out and I'll put the link up in the show notes. All right, there's a new website that's been launched. It's been backed financially by a number of people. I guess Dave Weiner, Michael Arrington, who else? Jeff Jarvis, Craig Newmark. I guess that's some of the companies behind it. Daylife is a site that's going to aggregate using people to filter the news of the day. And this is mainstream news, stuff that could be on CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, etc. Then also link in a good blog content that's in relation to that those articles. And they're going to rank the pages kind of on their own. They're not going to use like a community-based ranking system like Dig does, which is going to keep their, one of the articles I read that says going to keep their cost real high. But I think it's also going to help keep the clutter down as well. That's a big problem I have with Dig right now is kind of sifting through the clutter. But anyway, check this article out. And, of course, if you're interested, check out Daylife. That's a new website, and it looks pretty cool. No RSS feeds, though. I don't understand how they got away with that with Dave Weiner being one of the investors. All right, it looks like the Bell South executives, they're already being shown the door. This ink on this deal with AT&T is not even over, and they're starting to kick a bunch of people to the floor. And I knew this was going to happen. This is not surprising at all. But I guess the CEO is going to be leaving, and there's a whole list of people that are going. And I mean, it's a list. I'm looking here. One, two. There must be 30 people that are on their way out, whether or not AT&T has canned them or if they've been asked to leave. Same thing, right? But for those of you who live in the Bell South area, yeah, welcome to AT&T. All right, here is here's the post of the day. You know these idiots over at Paper Post? You know, they made a big deal the other day of saying that they had bought a section of performancing. And, you know, we talked about it on here, and I had talked about how performancing was going to spin off their blogging application. And turns out today that the Paper Post people have left the performancing people hanging out to dry. They're saying, deal's off. We have decided to walk away from the performancing deal. We listened to our posties and other metric users, dug into their metrics platform, and regretfully found that it wasn't what we were looking for right now. You know what? If you're going to buy a company, you go in and you do that homework first. You dig into the books. You dig into their user platform. You dig into everything. You look at everything. Then you make a wise company decision that you're going to invest or buy the company. Then you announce. You do not announce that you're buying someone and then going and saying, oh, we looked into their company and these guys are a bunch of clowns. There is no way I would ever do business with these folks at Paper Post. If you are, stay away from them. In my opinion, in my personal opinion, these guys, they do not know what they're doing. Can you imagine that? Now, the folks at Performancing, they're not all to, they're not going to get off scot-free here. They should have, you know, oh man, obviously they did not have a lawyer. Obviously they, how could they have blundered like this? Because now any company that comes in, they're going to want to know the dirt. This is really, really sad. It really, really is. And boy, everyone has just come down off the top rope on these clowns and have really, really, they're really smacking them around bad. All right, there's a new website. I'm switching gears here on a good note. There's a new website that has come out, and I think they've got a big winner here. The Adbrite folks have released a product called InVideo. This is a great idea. And, you know, if you go post a video on YouTube or if you, wherever you're posting your video at, there's no way that you can get credit back to your site for any type of advertising or sponsorship stuff or anything like that, like this. But this company has produced a embeddable video player similar to YouTube, similar to PhotoBucket, etc. And if you choose to show a video on your website using their embedded player and giving the option to allow other people to choose that player to play on, put on, let's say I want to go over to Tom's site and he's got something over and he's gave me a shared link. What you can do is through the interface with Adbrite ads, you can add your logo and watermark to the content. So anyone that takes the content and embeds it on their own site will show the same video with the same ads and watermark. Revenue goes back to the original video creator. This is a home run. This is really, really a home run. So I'm going to be looking at this heavily tomorrow. It's not something I'll have to, I'll be doing with the Hitachi deal. But, you know, why you're creating the content, right? You're putting that content over on YouTube or wherever else. Number one, of course, is to get exposure. But you're not getting any money for that. You're not getting paid for that. Maybe if you have an ad within your content, maybe you're going to get paid, okay? But this is a way, finally, for user-generated content to get back at the man via a tool that someone else has developed in order to protect your financial interest in that content that you're creating. Now, I'm not saying everything should be wrapped in advertising, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But putting your logo, putting your watermark, et cetera, on this stuff, I think is highly, highly important. Even if it's intermixed with the YouTube logo, at least you can get credit back for where the stuff comes from, and then people can see. Because a lot of times, even though I'm a producer on YouTube, unless the people are really looking at the external stuff, how many times do you actually look at the notes and the links and all that? It gives a way to get, that data embedded in there. So I have a link up to this on the in the show notes, but this is awesome. It's really awesome. And I definitely will be checking this out. Okay, next article up is about off Wired. It's talking about BitTorrent bullies, BitTyrant, and BitThief. A lot of people are apparently starting to use this application. It's in something that's new that's come out. BitTyrant is a really, and BitThief is a application that probably should be banned on all the trackers out there. The BitTyrant application allows people to select those with the higher throughput to seed and get data from, while those that are on the slower connections don't get fed as much and don't get as much in return. BitThief itself straight up essentially tries to trick people into thinking that you're submitting a bunch of stuff to get a whole bunch of download speed. We'll see what happens with the torrent sites, whether or not they block these two applications. I hope they do. I hope that they are not, because this could really put a hamper. You know, if you're going to download stuff via P2P and it's legal content to download, make sure that you're, you know, that you're giving your part to the actual, back to the actual seed and seeding the file out. It really makes a system work. All right, a little bit on the science front. Year-end gala, I missed this the other day, but there's the Cassini Imaging Central Laboratory for Operations has posted some very cool pictures up of some of the moons, and there's just all kinds of great stuff. And if you haven't been following this, I'll put the link up in the show notes. And I think you'll just be absolutely amazed at some of the pictures that this spacecraft has returned. Just amazing what they're doing with the science around Saturn. The amount of data that they're sending back is just amazing. But this new round of data that they've put up on the website is really, really awesome. A link will be up in the show notes to that as well. Well, we're running long here. I've talked, well, not long. We're 55 minutes. Normal. Apparently, there's going to be some introductions of a some players at CES that's going to be able to play both the Blu-ray and HD DVD formats. Apparently, Warner Brothers is going to be introducing a product at CES. Doesn't say who they're working with. The folks at Tech Dirt are like, well, let's confuse customers a little more with these formats. But yeah, I think this is a good idea. You know, those that those of you that got hosed when the beta slash VHS fiasco went down many years ago, probably have been holding on the fence. You don't want to go buy into the wrong format. Well, here you're going to be able to play both types of disc on one player. The question is, what's the price going to be? And I think this is going to be the way to mitigate the situation over the long term. But I don't know how the media companies are going to react to this as well. For you Windows users out there, there is a product called Rogue Remover that's gotten some pretty good reviews. Rogue Remover is a utility that can remove various rogue anti-spyware, antivirus, and hard drive. It's essentially a hard drive cleaning utility. And it's a pretty awesome little application. There's over 173 applications in the actual, you know, that it actually goes after within the actual program itself. So check this out. Link will be up via the show notes. It's over at neowin.net. Boy, the Macworld hype is just out of control. People are trying to figure out what's going to be announced, and you've all seen the news, but it's come down to about three items that they think are going to make the cut. The new iPod, the iTV, and the iPhone. There's even a little bit of a rumor that there could be some sort of a an ultra-portable Mac that's going to be released, like a ThinkPad type of device. The only time will tell here, but they do believe this stuff is going to be announced. We'll see what Jobs has to say here in a few days. All right, over on the website called ehomeupgrade.com, there's a rumor that Windows Home Server Edition will be unveiled at CES. A source close to a ZDNet blogger is saying that Microsoft is getting set to unveil the Windows Home Server Edition. And this could be very, very interesting if Microsoft gets into the home server market. It's a project supposedly codenamed Quattro. And it's unclear, of course, what this is exactly going to be, but maybe it's time. You know, how many, well, of course, many of you geeks out there have a Linux server that's doing all your, you know, your heavy lifting for file serving and that type of stuff. But this home server could prove to be a very interesting device. Time will tell. Link will be up in the show notes. Keep your eyes peeled, of course, at CES for that. All right, the National Security Agency has released an excellent guide for your first steps to securing your network. It's a PDF file, and anything these guys put out, it's going to be definitely good, and it's good advice, so a link will be up in the show notes on that. NASA's got an interesting map out talking about the meteoroid strikes on the moon and how they've measured them and determined how many impacts there were. Pretty impressive to see how big and what number of meteorite hits the moon took in the last year. If you want to check out and see how much stuff is actually flying around in space, it actually was detected from Earth via telescopes that were pointed at the moon and the actual impact flashes they saw. You'll have to link out that's via NASA. All right, I guess those of you that were in Denver, if you were outside, you got to see a breakup of a Russian rocket that re-entered the atmosphere. And I guess this was a pretty spectacular display, and I guess parts of this thing actually landed as far away as Wyoming. So if you haven't seen this video, it's been captured by a Skyfox video that was on a video camera that was on a roof, and pretty awesome fireworks display from this rocket reentry. Okay, what else? I got a couple last things here. That's, I got that already talked about. And, oh, apparently, There's a company called Gracenote that is, they're the ones that, they do a lot of integration with iTunes and some of the, I guess some of the art, some of the artwork that comes in via your albums that you buy. Apparently they made a deal that's going to allow them to get the lyrics sent as well. So you may see an addition to iTunes in the near future and other vendors that use Gracenote's digital lyrics catalog. They're going to be sucking that into iTunes. Only time will tell, but that's a press release that was released today. How many of you have, you just been sitting there and you're looking at your computer screen and you see a bug land on it and you kind of brush them away? Well, what would you do if you seen a bug on your screen and you went to brush them away and you couldn't and they were actually behind the glass of the screen? Apparently, this has happened to a guy that bought an external screen for his MacBook. And he's freaking out on how to get this bug out of his screen. This was actually a support form over at Apple. How is that possible? How could a bug get in there? Anyway, that's the funny link of the day. And that's basically all I've got for content tonight. Let me go over to the show comments. Wow, we're doing good on time. Hour and 1 minute. Got an email from Chip. He says, he submitted his top three podcasts. He says the top three listen to, and I need to get that list put together. That's been a while. I owe that to you all. He says, my top three podcasts are Geek News Central, Mysterious Universe, and then Off the Hook. Now that's the 2600 group at 2600.org, I believe is the website. Got one question for you. Understanding that you and your mom started the journey of digital capture for your family's history, I have a little problem that maybe you can help me with. My father, now 84, which Tom Brokaw called your folks and mine the greatest generation, and it's true as you know. Anyways, my father and I drove from Washington, D.C. to St. Louis in one day, and during the trip, I recorded the stories of my father's early life on a small pocket recorder that I hung from the mirror. I recorded hours upon hours of stuff, many stories I had heard before. Following the trip, I went about to listen to the stories, and you can guess the results. Over the whole thing was the drone of the car. Do you know if any of your listeners know what software I can use to get that drone out so that I could potentially script the conversation or salvage the records and then post them on our in-progress website? I would be willing to send the files less than 5 megs. He says, I think the check. I don't follow that last little bit there, Chip, about the Verizon check for $17.59. Jog my memory. But I tell you what, Chip, you know, what I have done and what I have found is when you get a lot of noise like that, you can use, try Audacity first, load Audacity up on your computer. It's a free application, and this will give you an idea of the type of success you may or may not have. And what you're going to have to do is find a spot in that audio that no one is saying anything, and you just have the drone of the car. You're going to have to sample that drone of that car and then select the entire sequence of one file and use the noise reduction feature within Audacity to remove the noise. Now, I don't know what kind of results you're going to get. Typically, when you have to have a lot of noise, you have to do heavy noise reduction, you get distortion with the audio. That is one way that I would do it. That's how I would start, by using that free application. There may be some more aggressive sound reduction type of programs out there where you have to pick the specific frequencies just to completely block. And there are some commercial programs out there that will do that. But let's try Audacity first, see how that works. Audacity is easy to use as a word processor. It's not hard. Matter of fact, if you... I actually got a section within my podcasting book on how to remove noise, and it uses Audacity specifically to show you how to do that. But you'll be able to figure it out. Find a section there where you're not talking about it, highlight it, do a digital sample for the noise reduction, then select the entire clip, and then determine how aggressive you want to get. Don't use your master files. Use a backup and see how that goes. All right, I got an email from a bunch of you saying that you went and did the superhero test, and some of you got to Superman, some of you got different levels, so I'm sure many of you had fun with that. Got an email from Jay Biddle. Now, I don't know if Jay is a, actually it's Jeremy. I don't know if he's an actual full-time listener to the show or not. He says, have you heard of WinDiz Update? According to their site, this free website allows the users of Mozilla Firefox 0.9.3. I wouldn't recommend using that version of Firefox anymore. Upgrade to 1.5. Netscape 4.0, Mozilla Firebird 0.7, Opera 5, or KMilan. Oh boy, I just closed it here. KMilan 0.9 to keep their copy of Windows up to date. New releases of these browsers are also suitable to use. You know, just run Windows Update. I don't, obviously there are lots of tools out there that will look at and see if your system's up to date, and we'll go out and download the updates. I know that we've got some recommendations in the past, but just run the Windows Update that Windows has. Have that run automatically in the middle of the night if you don't have anything open critical that, you know, let the machine reboot. Or from not, or set it so it won't reboot in case you run into a problem. Anyway, we'll put a link up to the show notes. I don't know anything about that application. I really, really don't. Got an email here. Here's something for the Mac listeners. This is to show you how far we've came on the PC side. He said, hey, Todd, I want to share an interesting experience with you that's tied to the PC and Mac battle that's been a hot topic lately. During the past New Year Eve, I was retained to connect a 5-city nightclub event over the internet. He says it was at www.newyearsnation.com. The idea was that each nightclub was to broadcast a live feed to one another so that they all could be linked together. The cameras had to roam around the venue, so everything had to be wireless. On top of that, internet users were also to be granted access to watch the event. As you know, most professionals in the video and audio industry are Mac folks and usually look for Mac-based solutions. On the broadcast side, we use Windows Media Encoder since it was free. So PC folks were also required. This was an excellent opportunity of getting a good collaboration going. The event was featured on Fox News on early Sunday morning, so the pressure was pretty high in making this happen. After some time testing everything, we began to broadcast. Everything went exceptionally well. A few hiccups since battery life drained quickly in both the laptops and the cameras, but this had nothing to do with whether you prefer the Mac or PC. After the event, I was approached by a diehard Mac guy who was also the cameraman on our location. He was impressed with the Windows Media Encoder and had no idea that this was even possible. Just goes to show you that there's still hope. You know what? The Windows Media Encoder has been around a long time. And it's one of the primary encoding devices if you're getting streaming video or streaming audio. You know, that's one of the major deals. This should be no surprise to any Mac user. It really, really shouldn't. But anyway, thanks for that, Dan. I do appreciate it. Got an email from Steve. Said the kids were singing was awesome. And said, have fun at CES. I'm definitely going to do that. I got to make a correction. I talked about one of our listeners in a previous show. He says, hey, Todd, I just finished the latest show, and I'm a girl, a geek girl, actually. You often say girls don't listen to the show. No, Kate, that's actually wrong. I know that there's a great number of you that listen to the show. I know what the stats are. I apologize if I insinuated that, but I know the ladies are out there. But I think she goes on to say, I think you miscount some of us as blokes. In the podcast, you said I was a guy in Australia. Kate is a girl's name. It's short for Caitlin and pronounced the same as Kate. Caitlin is Gaelic for Kathleen. All right. I get the picture. She says, I also don't podcast, but I know that Cameron Riley from the Podcast Network. So I met a lot of the local pod folks and listened to a lot of podcasts. I've ditched radio altogether and been radio free since 2001. Congratulations. The only radio shows I listen to now are the ones that are podcasts. She says I should look up Dr. Carl. Oh my goodness, Kurlzinski from the ABC, like the BBC, but Aussie. Dr. Carl is popular with kids and adults for his passionate views on science and empowerment for everyone to be a scientist, even if it's just at home. Your kids will love him. Cool, I'm going to check that out too. I guess she gives me the links to it here. And the only other cool radio show I listen to is independent station RRR's Bite Into It, and she gives me a link to that as well. Thank you so much for being a listener to the show, Kate. And yes, we know the ladies are out there, and you definitely got your message across. I'll be more careful in the past. I think what it was is I clued in on the C, and if I'd have seen a K, I'd have automatically assumed it, but I apologize. Just smack me around a little bit. All right, one last email here. I got some more, but we're out of time. Hey, Todd, I've been using Soapbox, the beta video site for Microsoft. I have to say the quality is double that of YouTube and many other sites. I thought this would be a good place to store some of your CES videos. Thought since it's still in beta, I don't know if that would work out for you. Just grown to love the Soapbox and hate YouTube due to the quality. Hope this helps, and we'll check that out as well. I think there's a whole bunch of other stuff here that people send in. I appreciate everyone that's here. Billy, Jim, Sam, JP, Nir, Jeff, Tracy, Chris, Bob, everyone. Thanks so very much for sending in emails. I do appreciate everyone. Next stop, Consumer Electronics Show. Send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Flood the voicemail hotlines on my folks at Videosmith. Let me know what you think about those guys, whether you would continue to do business with them or not. 619-342-7365. And if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. And, of course, 619-342-7365. Don't forget, we're going to be giving rewards to the top 10 folks that send us the most traffic during CES, to the specifically to the content we put up. And make sure you send me an email whenever you drop a link to us on your blog. It is going to be definitely appreciated. And we'll be, of course, next show will probably be, I would expect you're going to have one Saturday night, maybe. We'll see. Saturday or Sunday night, you're going to have the first show from CES. It will be audio only, maybe a little video, who knows. But as always, stay tuned, stay subscribed, and next show live from CES in Las Vegas. Take care, everyone. Aloha.